The king is here.
I'm excited for this one. This is going to be a fun one.
Let's do it.
I love that just getting Ninja and Mr. Beast and these streamers. Like, Nate, you've been talking about a lot, man. It's just such a great thing for poker to have all these new eyes on it.
Yeah, no, like Hustler did a great job, like just putting it all together. And I guess that guy Ludwig, like, just called up Ninja and Mr. Beast and put this game together. And then before we give our thoughts on everything that went down on that stream, we have to talk about our good friends at Whistle Pig Whiskey. We know anything worth doing is worth doing 100%, and so does Whistle Pig Whiskey. They created the first 100% rye whiskey. That's right, the first 100% rye whiskey, perfect for sipping and for mixing. The Piggyback is made with 100% rye whiskey for a bold, full spice flavor. We've been talking about Whistle Pig Whiskey, our presenting sponsor, who we love so much, for a few months now, and they have once again changed the game. It is a bartender's dream. It is a Barstool Smitty dream because it's perfect for mixing up cocktails. All Smitty does is he sits at home, he watches his Phillies lose, he watches his Sixers lose, and he makes cocktails with Whistle Pig 100% rye whiskey. It's aged 6 years and has a high 96.56 proof. Trust me, trust Smitty, trust Jake Toole, who's getting married in just a couple of weeks. It is truly 100% the good stuff. You can get your own at your local retailer. Obviously, go into the liquor store, find the Piggyback, the age 6 years Piggyback, or you can go to whistlepigwhiskey.com. Also, you know, they still have the Piggybacks in cans, as Ben Mintz likes to tell you. Those are the 8% cans. They knock me out. I love them. So again, go to whistlepigwhiskey.com or get them in your liquor store. Send us over a picture on the Cracking Aces Instagram and or Twitter. We'll post it. We'll retweet it, whatever. You know, let Whistle Pig Whiskey know that they're making the correct decision sponsoring this show. Also, just real quick, if you're not subscribed, if you could hit subscribe on this podcast, that helps us a ton, get numbers up a little bit. And it takes like 4 seconds. If you're on the iPhone, if you're on your iPhone, hit the 5 stars. That also apparently helps us a lot with algorithm stuff. We're still on 2 different feeds, as I've mentioned before. We did see a big boost on the newer feed. It has the black background. It says presented by Whistle Pig. If you're still on the white feed, meaning like the white background, and it doesn't say presented by Whistle Pig, if you can just hit subscribe on the new one that's in like all our bios, it's good for us. It's good for Whistle Pig. It's good for the numbers. It allows us to do the podcast. So thank you. Smitty, you've done something with Alex Botez before, right?
Yeah, she came.
Aren't you boys with Ninja, Smitty?
And Ninja.
I taught him everything he knows.
It's true. Yeah. Ninja was a nobody. Yeah. Then Smitty taught him how to play Fortnite. And now look at him.
Yeah. Well, I took him to the next level and, you know, taught him things like class and management and outright unbridled enthusiasm.
How to be an American.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Why are you so down in the dumps?
I'm always down in the dumps.
Do we need to do a Smitty therapy? Should we cancel? We were supposed to have Ryan Feldman on, the guy who the guy who created Hustler Casino live stream, the guy who's responsible for the game that everybody's talking about with Helmuth and Ninja, and Helmuth is running angles and being an asshole. By the way, Jake, it's gonna be really hard for me to defend Phil Helmuth, but I think I can do it. I think I can do it.
I know you're going to try.
So Ryan Feldman puts together this game. He's been running it for probably, I don't know, a year or so. And Ivy's been on it. You know, like G-Man's always on it. Berkey's always on it. And then out of nowhere, he just puts together like the biggest, like juiciest cash game in the history of televised streamed poker with Mr. Beast, by the way, which I didn't realize is the most famous person in the world. Like, I knew he was famous. I knew he was big. I didn't realize he has double the followers of Ninja, who I thought was also the most famous person.
So I'm in the same boat as you. I had actually watched a few of his YouTube videos. Like, I knew he was huge, but I was talking to one of my friends whose brother is a little younger, and he's like, yeah. Basically, my brother and all his friends like worship this guy, and everyone like around his age, he's like the, you know, the the whatever A-list celebrity that you can right. think of. He's literally yeah. like the Brad Pitt of content creation. And
yeah, and Ninja's popularity has gone down in years. I would say in 2018, during Fortnite's like boom, 2017, he was arguably one of the top 25 most recognizable people on Earth.
Ninja has had billboards in Times Square and just like world tours and just whatever. And then I see Mr. Beast.
Yeah, Mr. Beast's revenue is gotta be off the charts. He made a Squid Game like live reenactment that got more views than the actual Squid Game.
Like,
how's that even possible? But if he did it.
So they put together this poker game. It's a 50K buy-in, 100, 200 game.
And that's not anything from XQC and like Ludwig and Boots. They're all huge too, just massive.
So I had never heard of Ludwig before. It was technically his game.
Well, and Ludwig played poker with us last year.
I didn't put it together that was the same guy.
He recently, like, he was huge and then streamed for like 2 months straight, like just straight 2 months, and then became like ultra huge.
Yeah.
And XQC is arguably the biggest like live streamer of them all.
I had heard of him before. I knew who he was. They get together. They play this 100, 200 game. Alex Botez is a chess prodigy, whatever. She was like Canada Women's Player of the Year. She's like a grandmaster chess player or something. She streams on Twitch to a bazillion people. Also, bonk me if you must. Very hot. And then Helmuth and Dwan are the and Alex.
So Helmuth also equally as hot.
Alan Keating, who is just like Dan Bilzerian's best friend or something, who Bilzerian backs him. He lost $1 million in the game. So they're playing this 100, 200 game. First hand is all in pre-flop. Like, it's just like a flip for 50K. It's shaping up to be the wildest game ever.
Well, it wasn't just a flip for 50K. It was Keating. I forget the action, but Keating just like put in a few thousand dollars and some guy just goes all in with aces and Keating just calls it off for like 45,000 more with King five of diamonds. It wasn't a flip.
Oh, okay.
He just called it off.
You're right.
But it did kind of kick off the, a very fun dynamic that seemed to continue.
The point is, it was supposed to be like, it was a very fun game, laid back game. The streamers and personalities are all vibing, having fun. They all know each other and they're all loaded. Like, these are like super, super rich people.
Yeah.
Like, extremely, you know, like, I guess Botez isn't extremely, extremely, extremely like Mr. Beast rich, but you know, everybody has money. And then there's Phil Helmuth, who all he does, God, I hate saying bad things about our king. All he does is brag about how much money he has and how he is an early investor in all these companies, and he's best friends with Chamath and best friends with, you know, all these Silicon Valley people. And he's insufferable. There's no other way to put it. He's talking down to everybody. Like, they don't know what's going on because, you know, he's Mr. Poker Pro. He's the greatest player in the world. He's trying to explain like the odds and the outs, and none of these guys give a fuck. They're just there to.
But that's Phil. Why do you want to see him any other way? You don't want to see him vibing. You don't want to see him like being nice. That's fucking Phil.
Okay, I can tolerate that. Fine, Smitty. Fine. We'll let that slide.
Wait, hold on. I need to interrupt because I'm gonna regret not.
No, Jake. Actually, should we stop now? Should we just let you have your piece right now?
No. It's just about something that you just said. It's very small. So you're saying how he's trying to like explain the odds and the outs and whatever to these obviously amateur players who are just trying to have fun.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't even do that. What you're talking about was actually a very simple question directed towards Phil, and he couldn't even give the answer.
Yep. Okay.
Which should tell you, and it just speaks magnitudes as is. I could say a lot more, and I'm sure I will, but
Phil needs to be the smartest person in the room at all times. He has to be the most important person in the room at all times. And Smitty, to your point, that's Phil, right? That's the Phil we know. That's why Phil has been in the spotlight at the top of the poker world for whatever many decades.
Along with, in his defense, winning.
Sure. Not really on high stakes cash games, but
no, but yes, he still
and wins. So the game continues. Also, these streamers, when you like, I think Mr. Beast has played some poker. Ninja has splashed around a little bit. I think, is it QXC? I think he might have even brought up that he studied a little bit. It might have been Ludwig. I can't remember. But you can just tell watching.
Nobody in that game studied.
No, yeah. One of them said it like very like briefly. Maybe it was a joke. I don't know. But
yeah, and I'm going to correct you, Nate. It's XQC.
Sorry, I'm an asshole. I'll just call him X. They called him X. That's way cooler anyway.
Yeah, that's fine.
You can just tell very early. These are some sharp motherfuckers. Like they can just pick up on things and they just get it. Like they just have like really good. You can't become these like genius 10 million subscriber streamers, whatever, without being sharp as a tack. And you just tell early on, like they get it and they can gamble and they can do all that. But they're looking at Phil like, dude, like they're not going to outright say it because they're just like nice guys, but he was a fish out of water. Like he was outclassed at a table of streamers, which is not where you want to be if you're Phil Hellmuth, right? Like, and his ego is too big for that. And it kind of just started going downhill from there.
You know what Phil Hellmuth is? He's a chihuahua. He's got a lot of bark, but he's got absolutely no bite.
He's in a room of people. And he has to bark, but if you give him attention, he's timid.
No, if you challenge him in any way, if you say put up or shut up, he backs down. This was there's two things. There's like there's the side of this game that was fun. It was entertaining. It was action packed, and then there's the part of the game that was like incredibly juicy and profitable for two people at that table, like going into it. That's obviously Tom and it's Phil, the two pros.
Sure.
And if you're just going to sit there and say, you know, have everyone try to call you the GOAT and say you're the best and berate everybody or berate Alex, and then sit at that in that game. I know it was 100, 200. It was not 100, 200 when guys are open raising to 5,000. It was just a massive game. And he's sitting there with 20,000.
Right.
It's just.
That was my problem with it too, Jay. Oh. Like I get the short stack and cash games theory and stuff. But if you're going to come in there with the biggest ego and you're one of the pros and you get a once in a lifetime dream lineup like that, and you're too much of a bitch to sit with more than 20K when you allegedly own 15 companies. Like that, I don't know. That's what really got me, because people would kill to be in that spot in poker and have a chance in a game like that. And, you know, if you're going to short stack a game, you can't berate everyone and bitch at them, because you're, you know, that just changes the whole dynamic.
But that's also a Phil thing. And he knows that it's not, Jake, he's not playing against, you know, a couple fish out there. These kids or adults, they are smart. They played the game before. They know like what they're doing somewhat.
But he looks at them as inferiors. That's
He's berating them.
He's berating them and talking down to them. And he goes, I'm Phil fucking Hellmuth. I'm the best in the world. So he's talking down to them, but he's not even willing to add on money. He's not even willing to give action. He's not willing to do any of that.
Yeah, I guess I just like my opinion is that he never in a million years should deserve a seat in that game.
He's earned that seat. He's earned that seat from what he's
doing in
poker or whatever. I get why he has that seat. I can't
get somebody else in there.
Like Negreanu?
Listen, he carries that shit because he is one of the most entertaining people to watch live. It doesn't matter the game. It doesn't matter the stakes. Ninja laughing in his fucking face and putting him in his place after sucking out on the river, that made the entire stream. That's why Phil was there, to look like that asshole, because he is an asshole on camera.
And that's what I was trying to explain to Jake a little bit, and Jake won't have any of it, is the most viral moments and the only thing we're still talking about 3 days later is Phil Hellmuth. Like,
yeah,
I would happily not talk about him. I will happily talk about the rest of the stream. I think talking about him is the least fun part and least entertaining part about that entire thing. There's so many cool, fun things about every person at that table other than him. And honestly, Tom Dwan as well.
I can understand. Like, there's two ways of looking at it. Like, look, you can look at it from a wrestling point of view, where you need the good guys and the bad guys. Phil's the bad guy. The issue is, he's not playing a role. He does every single time he's on TV, he acts like this. And then the next day it's the Phil apology tour. Everybody knows that's not who I am. Like, at some point, it's just who you are. And I think the poker world is fed up with him playing both sides. And, you know, he does the video with Alex Botez after, like, oh, we're just goofing around. And she's just smiling along because, like, she just took $500,000 from this game and he was the fish in the game. So what the fuck does she really care? But he was patronizing. He was calling her chess girl. She made also. So there's a straddle for 25K and he shoves 50K and she calls with ace nine and he had ace eight. And he spent 4 hours berating her for calling with ace nine.
That is so egregious.
But he doesn't understand that there's a, like, it's not 50K. It was two big blinds because there was a 25K straddle. And he has zero understanding of that whatsoever. And so he spent 4 hours when Ninja and Mr. Beast and everybody's just laughing, having fun. He just goes, fucking ace nine, fucking offsuit. That's why I'm the best. That's what, like, cut his mic. Like, just tell, like, if I'm Ryan Feldman, who we'll talk to in a few, I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up. Like, that's when he started ruining the game. I can take Phil antics. You know, I'm a Phil guy. That's my goat. But, like, when he starts ruining the game by not allowing the rest of the game to have fun, like, that's my line. Like, it was such they allowed Ludwig to stream the game on his own channel. By the way, brilliant move, not just making people go to Hustler Casino, allowing, I don't know, this guy with 3 million followers to stream it on his as well. Brilliant. Over a million views in 12 hours on his channel. And these people are now just watching grumpy Phil Hellmuth short stack berating and shit. Like, it's good TV, but it's also bad TV. Like, it's good heel work, but it's also miserably annoying. Like, it got to the point where even as a Phil guy, I was like, this is too much. Like, you got to shut the fuck up, dude. Like, you're annoying.
Yeah. And I mean, Smitty, you're 100% right. I mean, like, he is who he is. And out of that yields some form of entertainment. And the Phil ninja hand with Ninja's reaction and the I'll suck a dick for a 10 comment was you're right. It made the night, but like, that could have happened to anybody, you know, like,
I mean,
if anybody else was in that seat and gets it all in there, like the funny part from it wasn't Phil's reaction. It was,
I know, but just doing that to Phil, just made, that's what galvanized the poker world and the streaming world together.
Phil being annoying.
I mean, we were all, everyone was anti-sweating him, but like, you also have to realize that, like, I don't know, what is it? 92% of the time, like, we don't get that. It's just a hand.
But that's why it's so perfect, is that it happens to Phil. Like, that's what makes it perfect.
We were fortunate that it happened.
But if that hand happens to Negreanu, there's no reaction. It's, oh, sorry, bro. Sorry, man.
Yeah.
It's not,
people feel bad.
I don't think so. I disagree. I think the reaction is very, very similar.
In wrestling, when the good guy finally beats the bad guy, when, like, the underdog finally beats, you know, the guy who he's not supposed to beat, it's the biggest pop. It's the biggest reaction. When Ninja hits that 10 and gets to laugh in Phil's face, that's the moment, right? Like it all builds to that. Yes, it's lucky, obviously, that the 10 comes on the river, but that's what makes Phil's persona, even though it's actually him, even though it's actually not, whatever, whichever way you want to look at it, it works. My only issue is it was such a huge platform and he was just such a cocksucker the whole time. Like, yeah, have a little humility.
It's, just like, it's everything from his demeanor, the way he acts, his fucking outfit, his dumbass Bitcoin Latinum hat, which is,
it's a Ponzi scheme or whatever.
It's a literal like rug pull Ponzi scheme. Like, I mean, go look at it's just insane. It's insane that he wears that. It's like, all right, this guy's like trying to fit in, like he's with the younger crowd. Okay, cool. Like, well, why the fuck's he acting like a 4-year-old fucking little bitch? Like,
what? That's Phil.
Okay, well, get him the fuck out of here, man. Like, what else do you want me to say? Stop saying that's just Phil. Like, he's a piece of shit. And like, what are you justifying? What do you mean that's Phil? Like, no human being should act like that. That's a 60-year-old man. Jesus Christ. Stop saying that's Phil.
But that's exactly what brings the entertainment factor to it, in my opinion.
I completely disagree. I think every other person at that table was entertaining. I think Alan Keating just dumping 1.1 million.
I'm not disagreeing to that either. I'm just saying Phil Hellmuth, when you can put him in his place and he spazzes, is some of the best poker content out there. And yes, maybe he was being a little outrageous, like he kept it going, but that's the way he is. You know what you're going to get when you put him at the table.
Yeah, but the viewers, the however thousands of viewers that were new to that stream didn't come there to see Phil Hellmuth. They were watching their idols in other arenas play poker. I mean, whatever. I mean, you're right. Like the ninja Phil hand almost justified it, but
I'm justifying it in my mind because I've had interactions with Phil off the table, and I was shocked how different he was when he's like quote on and well, Phil.
Smitty, let's say we've known each other for 30 years, and every day I would see you and I came up and I punched you in the nuts every day for 30 years, and Nate was just like, oh well, that's Jake, like.
Yeah, but that's off camera. I get when he's trying to do it as a persona and to eyeballs and to get views and to do it. I think that is an exact dichotomy between when he's doing stuff on camera and when he's off camera. Because I've seen it, like, and that's how I'm justifying it.
Jake, someone needs to smack him to wake up and realize that nobody wants to see that.
You as a pro.
To his throne.
You as a pro should feel very good that he was on the stream because he lost $100,000. The self-proclaimed greatest player in the world lost $100,000 to amateurs. And that is almost moneymaker-esque, where kids at home, the General Smitty Army, is now thinking, I can play poker. I can beat the greatest player in the world.
Hey, listen, I'm all for the promoting of the game. I think that did a lot for it, and I hope they keep doing it. It seems like those guys love to play poker, and I mean, I kind of told you, Nate, that while I thought the stream was amazing, I still think that it needs to happen like semi consistently to like actually move the needle, other than just like a one off thing.
Well, I agree, that's the thing. It does happen consistently on their platforms. They do play a lot together. I mean, Mr. Beast plays like all the time. Like it's not.
Does he put like stream it or anything?
Yeah, no, it's all streamed on Twitch. A lot of those.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's great.
So this is the first merging between the actual poker world and that. So maybe it's a surprise to a lot of people when that happens. But I agree with what Nate said and blogged. If poker was legal in all 50 states, like this would have been the pop-off night, like when Ninja played Fortnite with Drake in like 2016, 2017. That is what brought all these eyes to gaming and Twitch and Fortnite, and it exploded beyond everyone's wildest dreams. This would have happened the same way as poker. It's just unfortunately, you know, 46 states can't fucking play.
There's a lot of 16-year-olds wondering, how can I get interested in poker right now? Like,
that's where they go to ACR.
Well, like they go there, and I mean, yeah, the unfortunate thing with you know, no offense to these guys that were playing, but you know, if their audience starts to play in a regulated state or play in ACR, like it's going to be a pretty steep learning curve.
Of course, but
for a lot of these people. But
I mean, if even 1% of the total viewership gets interested, great for the game. You know?
I completely agree.
We didn't even talk about, you know, the Phil, like that's kind of been beaten down.
I was going to bring that up next. I mean, I think we should bring it up. We don't have to.
Yeah. So here's Ryan Feldman, the creator of the game, probably has gotten zero sleep in, I would guess, the last week putting this together. You're like in Truman Show, like the guy who lives up in the moon and you watch everything happen below you. That's who you are to the Hustler Casino live stream. And pretty successful week, you would say?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it. It was obviously our biggest show we've ever had. And to have those names on the show all at once on one show is just incredible. It's kind of a dream come true for me. You know, I when we started Hustler Casino Live in August, I, you know, envisioned certain things and wished for certain players, and Mr. Beast was one of the ones early on that I had hoped for. And I wasn't sure exactly how I would connect to him, how I would get him on. But things kind of came together recently, and thanks to some, you know, some networking, some fortunate things happening, we were able to put together this show. And anytime you get a show like that, where it's some of the biggest names in YouTube and Twitch combined with some of the biggest names in poker, it's just amazing for poker. And I just can't believe that it was us that was able to get the show together, and that they came to play at Hustler. Like, it's just amazing. It's still surreal. I can't even contemplate like how big of a deal and how cool this is.
Yeah. We were talking before you came on, like, it's definitely, it feels like a moneymaker-esque type of crossover moment into the mainstream. Smitty compared it to when like Drake played Fortnite with Ninja and got like a million concurrents on Twitch. It's just, I mean, Ludwig's channel, props to you for allowing him to stream it live on his channel. I know it had over a million views in like 12 hours. I made a snide remark about how PokerGo would literally murder someone for uploading a 3-second video of the WSOP from 20 years ago, and you just let anybody upload it because it's great for the game. The Phil Hellmuth stuff, let's just dive into it. He was the star of the show, whether you love it or hate it. The angle, the knot, he didn't angle, he was passing his card. What did you, I assume you were in some sort of production truck possibly, or you had a, what's your take on that entire thing? Let's just break it down for us.
Okay. So I don't think that Phil was trying to angle in the moment, in terms of he wasn't trying to get a read by showing his cards necessarily. He wasn't trying to like make his opponent fold his hand by accident or anything like that. I think that Phil could have handled the outcome of it differently. And I think that's what most people are talking about, not about whose fault it was that Slime showed his cards and that Phil saw them, right? Like, that happened. That sucks. That was unfortunate. People are talking at the table. He's on the opposite side of the table. He didn't know what Phil was doing. It wasn't very clear. There's a lot of commotion. Phil definitely deserves some responsibility for that, of course. Like, there's no reason that you ever need to really show your cards when you're making a decision. And certainly you don't need to toss them to another player in the hand, or that's not in the hand. You don't need to toss them forward to show them. Like, any of those things are just completely unnecessary. You know, the normal parts of poker are, you know, you're facing a bet, you have your cards in front of you, you're protecting them, they're face down, and then you make your decision. When people show their cards while they're making a decision, that can lead to some weird things, right? Like, that, if it's not clear what you're doing, that person could think that you folded. it also allows that person to try to get a read sometimes. And people do that, which, you know, some people are okay with that. Some people aren't. So that part was definitely completely unnecessary, but I don't think there was any malicious intent in Phil showing his cards. He just was trying to be cool, be, you know, have fun. Tom wanted to see his cards. You know, someone at the other table asked, hey, just show them to all of us. I don't think he had any bad intent there, but yeah, after it happens, you have to kind of, in my opinion, do what's best for the game. And you're on a stream, you're playing with players that aren't pros, that don't play a ton of poker like Phil does. And, you know, sometimes you have to do, sometimes in poker, and especially in these private games, which I play a lot of these private games, and sometimes you have to, and that's what our show is. Our show is pretty much all private games, right? Like it's just organized games on stream. And you have to go above and beyond when you're the best player, so to speak, in the game, or if you're a plus EV player in the game, to make everyone feel comfortable. And maybe that means that you lose money in EV by doing something that you necessarily don't want to do, but you just have to because it's good for the game and it'll make your opponent feel good so that they'll keep playing. So I think after the fact, when you know, once Phil says, hey, I saw you have ace six or ace seven, obviously now Phil has information that he shouldn't fold. Now, before that, we don't know. We don't know if Phil actually would have folded or not if nothing happened. I mean, there's a pretty good chance that he would have folded. I mean, why else would he show his card, right?
I think he almost definitely would have folded.
Yeah, I can't say for sure because only Phil knows. But why else would he show his cards? Like, usually Phil's the type of guy, he'll show his cards when he's making a big fold, right? And then fold them to kind of like
show off. I would say in 30 years, Phil has never not folded in that
when he does that. Yeah, probably. So yeah, given that as well, once that happens, like, I don't think Phil necessarily should be acting like, oh, I was going to call, you know, I would have won this 30-40K. And so it's not really fair for all of a sudden for Phil, in my opinion, and Phil's a good friend of mine, and so I would tell him this too. I don't think it's necessarily fair for Phil to now take the entire pot in the middle, which was 8,000, not counting their bets in that moment. So it's 3,000 going to the flop, and then Mr. Beast called a $5,000 bet that Phil made. So there's $8,000 dead in the middle. It's not really fair for Phil to take all that and 5K. I haven't even thought about the math of if they were all in, what the math would be there. But
yeah, it's like an equity chop for if they were to do that in the moment like that. First of all, that would have taken some time to figure out. Second of all, right, you're right. The pot really wasn't even that big.
So give him another 5K. Yeah, it's just, I don't really know. I think that if it was me, I think the right thing to do would be just chop the middle. There's 8,000, 4,000 each. I think that's fine. No one's going to complain about that. No one knows for sure that Phil was going to call, was going to fold or call there. You know, there's nothing really unfair about that. You know, or if you want to really go even further, you could just say, hey, just keep the middle. I'm just going to fold. I don't think this is fair, but I think chopping the middle is fine. And so I think asking Slime to pay 5K, it kind of just comes off a little wrong to a lot of people, especially people who believe that Phil would have folded there. And then on top of that, they rabbit, not that it really matters, but they rabbit, a six comes out. So if Phil called, he would have lost. Right. So if Phil calls, he would have lost the whole pot. Slime would have won. If Phil folds right there, Slime wins the entire middle, right? So now this ends up being the only income, the only outcome where Phil actually gets something, right? By getting the pot and 5K.
So yeah, that's what I was, I don't think Phil purposely angled to start the hand, but there were the two outcomes, both were Phil loses and Phil takes advantage of this guy and goes, no, you owe me 5K. Like that whole thing was preposterous to me. We can move on past that. What do you think about his behavior the whole time? I mean, if you're just like his best friend, you don't have to actually like answer, I guess. But like, I think it would be crazy to sit here and say that his behavior wasn't outrageous.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But that's like standard Phil, and that's like his shtick, and that's what he does. And he thinks that people like it, and some people do it, and some people don't. And so he continues to do those things, and he's just on brand. I think there's some fair points made on social media that maybe this was the one time that, you know, maybe he shouldn't be like that, because these guys are all amateurs. There's a lot of like new eyeballs on this that, you know, maybe are interested in poker, but don't know as much about poker as we do. And maybe this is the one time when Phil should be more like happy-go-lucky, positive, and not do the rants and the cursing. I think there's definitely an argument there. I think Phil also, the things he did say, he probably, I got to go back and really watch, but I think he probably carefully selected who he ran into. Like, I think he knew Alex Botez decently, and he knew Mr. Beast very well. And so those were the two that he kind of said things to. I don't remember if there's other players he said things to, but I don't remember him like cursing or criticizing like Ninja or XQC, but I could be wrong.
Jake, I'm coming more on your side by the minute. I find what you just said, Ryan, like I'm a Phil guy. Like I defend Phil to the end of the earth.
Yeah.
But like, the more you say what you just said, the more I go on Jake's side of it, and that Phil was just like a complete asshole.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. It's his thing. He thinks it's funny and cool and part of his brand. And, you know, he probably thinks any publicity is good publicity.
But then he spent the last 48 hours on Twitter crying and defending himself. So which way does he want it?
I know. I don't know, man. He's a special character, and,
he's Phil. Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the thing is what's kind of unfortunate about him is there's definitely some pros to having him involved in big time streams. But then you just get like, there was all these other people at the table who, I mean, I was watching the stream. I thought it was incredibly entertaining. I thought it was like all the streamers. Yeah. Like the poker quality was what it was, but like, that's what made it so fun to watch. And there were so many like positive things and fun things about it. And then there's just like this one guy that's trying to make it all about himself.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I had the issue, but I mean, all in all, you guys just, it was just a home run.
Thank you.
It was a great stream.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, Phil, thank you. Appreciate it. Phil, is close to Mr. Beast. They've played a bunch with it and their friends. And so, that was kind of part of the allure to Mr. Beast when we first put this show together was, hey, I can get Phil and Tom Dwan to play. And I think that was part of a big reason why Mr. Beast, originally was down to play this game, and then the game just grew from there. So we started with Ludwig and Mr. Beast and Phil and Tom Dwan, and then we added more players to it. Ludwig invited some guys, I invited Keating, and that's how the lineup kind of came together. So
I think that Keating should loosen it up next time and not play so
tight. He played way too solid.
Yeah. Someone's gotta wake him up.
Yeah. So huge backlash on Twitter, obviously. The Helmuth apology tour rolls on. He takes a video with every person, says how much that person actually likes him, et cetera, et cetera.
Lex, it's Phil, baby.
It's Phil, baby. Lex and a ton of other pros are just like, all right, like we've tolerated this enough. Like Phil's a bad person for the game, especially on a platform this big. Then there's the other side, the Smitty side. Phil is perfect for this platform, for this game, because, you know, we're still talking about him, you know, 2 days later. He makes the viral moments. He's the bad guy. Every, you know, entertainment industry, whatever, needs the good guys and the bad guys. We can look at it from all angles. Let's say you ran a similar game with, you know, big influencers, you know, next month or whatever. Does Phil get the invite back?
I think it depends on the lineup and depends exactly who's playing.
If it's your, it's your call. Like it's Ninja and it's Kim Kardashian and it's a bunch of other influencers. And then it's, two poker pros. Phil wants to play. He's texting you, let me in the game. Do you say yes?
I think there's a decent chance, but I think it depends on, like I said, exactly who the people are in the lineup. Like, for example, like I said, Mr. Beast, he has a tight relationship with him. So that dynamic adds a lot to the show and to the game, and it makes Mr. Beast happy. And a lot of the times when you're going to get these people in the game that are good for the game, whether it's a celebrity in a game like this or whether in a regular game, like a recreational player, a businessman, a lot of the times the pros or the good or the tight players that I would invite would be based on who those people like. And so if there's people in the game who have a good relationship with Phil, who like playing with them, then that would factor in. If not, then might go a different direction and find some other big name pro, like, I don't know, Phil Ivey or something. It just depends on, I'm really like, when I'm putting lineups together like that, I want to cater to the people who are the most important in the lineup. And so in this case, Mr. Beast, Ludwig, Alex, like those were the most important players in the lineup when we first started off. And so in a different one, like, let's say, you know, let's say we get Dave Portnoy to play, right? Like I would go to him and say, hey, what big name poker pros would you like love to play with or dream to play with? And that's kind of how we put it together, because this isn't Phil Hellmuth's game with a bunch of influencers. It's the influencers game, and Phil got invited because of, you know, his connection.
Okay.
Makes sense.
I don't buy it. I think you answered it very well. I also think you completely dodged the question. I'm putting you in a hard spot because Phil still has leverage. I understand that, like in ways where he can leverage himself as, well, I'll only play Poker Go games if you don't let me back in these lineups or whatever. I don't know if that's what he would do, but he can.
No, Phil understands that when he plays in this game, when he plays in these games, it's a privilege in a game like that, especially.
Why is he a nit? Why didn't he put money on the table? Why does
it's
he...
just who he is, because he's played like that forever and he still gets invited to the games and he still gets talked about. And so, you know, if I said to him before the game, hey, listen, like I'm gonna invite you to this game, but like you have to cover the table or you have to play half your hand, like, okay, I could tell him that, but he'd be like, oh, that's just not me. I don't play like that. I'm not going to do that. You know, he's guys of his magnitude, you know, it's only in poker, but, you know, he feels like he's a big deal. Feel like they have leverage to kind of do their thing and do what they want because they feel like they're great for these shows. You know, a guy like Phil and some other guys like that, they are very big, but they think they're bigger than they are in their head. And so they're going to kind of do whatever they want because they've been successful for so long. They've been wanted for so long at all these poker events. And so he knows that, you know, people are going to talk about him and that, you know, whatever he's famous and that he believes that he fits in with these influencers.
I have a question about Mr. Beast because I've just gotten to learn about him recently, but like, he's the most philanthropic person ever, like all time. I mean, it's amazing how much he gives back to sports causes. Do you think he'd ever be interested in like a monster charity poker tourney? I think that like that could be such a cool thing that could have so much goodwill towards society and life that it seems like would be right up his alley.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know him too well yet. That was the first time that I met him. But I think that he's a lot. He's into philanthropy and he loves poker a lot. And I think he'd be down for anything related to that if it was the right situation.
I love how, like, one thing that went under the radar was he just casually tipped the dealer 10K after one hand.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty incredible. And
in that, like, four-way all-in pot with the 25K straddle, he tells the dealer that if he binks a queen, he's going to tip her, whatever, 50,000.
yeah, that was... I think that was magic. And yeah, he said 20K, I believe. But yeah, that was pretty nuts. Yeah, he's awesome, man. That was the first time that I met him. And basically It's funny. It's so cool. Like I tweeted out a few months back, you know, Mr. Beast is the guy that I want on the show. He's the goal. Shit, sorry. And so I've been striving towards, we've been striving to get him for a while. And I knew that Phil knew him, but I didn't want to ask Phil yet for like that favor to like, hey, can you ask him to play on the show? And so based on a relationship that we had with some guys at WPT and Poker King Media, they put together this game last week that was this creator game. And so Alex Botez put it together and she came and was great. And she invited Ludwig as one of the big names to be there. And so I met Ludwig there and I knew Ludwig was friends with Mr. Beast. And so I was like, man, this is my chance. Like, this is our chance to get in with Ludwig. He's friends with Mr. Beast and let's get a Mr. Beast game together. So after the game, I talked to him and he was like, yeah, I think he'd be down. Let me text him right now. Right away. He's like, hey, can we play on Sunday? I'm like, yeah, are you serious? So we just coordinated over the next day. And I'm like, wow, this is actually happening. Like, we're going to put a game together with Mr. Beast. And then it just evolved into the sickest game from there. So that was the first time I met him. It all came together so fast. It's pretty cool. I think it was the day before the morning of it. I think it was the morning of, I'm just getting ready at home. And I look at my phone and I get a phone call and it says, Mr. Beast's real name, James Donaldson. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? You know, like, it's just, he's super nice and down to earth and super cool. He came, so he shows up, first of all, he was the first one there on Sunday, the first player to arrive. He shows up like 2 hours before the game, right? Maybe even more. And he gets there early with his crew, with his people. He has like security guards, his manager. And, you know, he comes to the set. He wants to, we're like, hey, you want to see the control room? We show him the control room. And then he gets his wire cleared so he can get his chips. And then he's like, hey, can I play? Like, he's like, maybe I'll just jump into one of these like small games and just play, like just to warm up. So he was going to jump into a just regular like 5-5 game on the floor with a bunch of random people there to play. And I'm like, are you sure you want to do that? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, we could, if you want, instead we could put together like a game on the stage with just us and something like that. And so he's like, okay, let's do that. So we ended up doing like a 5-5 game on the stage with him, a couple of his crew, a couple of our people from our crew, Nick played as well. And he just like played 5-5 with a bunch of us for like 45 minutes before the game just to warm up.
That's so funny. I mean, that's kind of like, that's kind of the beauty of it, right? Like, he just likes to play. It's I don't know if there's a game out there that could like financially affect him. So like,
right. It's funny, on Ludwig's podcast the night before, he's like, they're talking about it, or sorry, on Ludwig's a stream, he called in and they're talking about it. And he's like, so what's the game? What are we playing? And Ludwig's like, 100, 200. He's like, oh, cool. And he's like, oh, I thought it was 1,000, 2,000.
Yeah, it's like all this, it's all the same. It's all the same number to him.
Yeah.
Which is just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Props to you for getting Joey Ingram out of retirement.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Thanks. Yeah, that's super cool. I've known Joey for a long time. We've been really good friends for a long time. We've worked together. Joey's just awesome in so many different ways. When I go to Vegas, we'll hang out and talk. He's great. And so like 2 weeks ago, when that whole Bryn Kenny thing was happening, I saw people posting about him on Twitter. I saw somebody posted a picture with him. They ran into him. And then I saw Sean Deeb, I think it was, said, oh, it would have been really cool to have Joey Ingram here this week, investigating all this stuff. And so when I saw that, it just kind of sparked something in my mind. And I'm like, I'm just going to shoot him a text and see how he's doing. You know, that's it. So I just sent him a text and I'm like, hey, I hope you're doing well. It's been a while. That's it. Just wanted to say hi and see how you're doing. And he texted me right back and we just started texting that night. And he said that he hadn't even seen the show yet. He hasn't watched anything in poker in the last year. He's been doing other things. I told him how the show is going. Told him about some of the characters on the show, some of the crazy moments that we've had over the last 8 months, 9 months, and you know, just how we're doing business wise with the show. And he was really happy for me and Nick. And so we started talking. Then the next day he starts tweeting. I'm not saying that my interaction had much to do with him coming back, but I'm just coincidentally the next day he starts tweeting. He starts doing a Twitch stream. He does a stream with Doug, and all of a sudden he's back. I'm like, oh my God. And that was, I don't remember exactly what day that was, but that was right before that Tuesday game with the creators. It was within a few days of that. So now we book this game with Mr. Beast potentially the next day on Wednesday. And so when that was pending, I called him and I'm like, hey, I think we're going to have this game on Sunday with Mr. Beast and Phil Ivey. And I mean, I'm sorry, not Phil Ivey, Phil Hellmuth and Tom Dwan and Ludwig and other people. Will you be involved? I would love to have you come to LA. Let's figure something out. You can do interviews, commentate. I don't care. Whatever you want to do, you would be perfect to have involved in this. Like, if we're going to have like the biggest show ever, we need Joey Ingram there. And so he was instantly in. So we started talking. Shortly after that, we confirmed the game, confirmed his role in the game. And we just went from there. So it was, yeah, very cool and honored to have Joey come and be a part of it, cover it, commentate, do interviews with all the players. This is the perfect event for him. And for this to be his first event in, I guess, two years. 10 months.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool that he chose this to come back for.
I guess before we let you go, besides Dave Portnoy, who's your next big white whale? You got Ninja, you got Mr. Beast. who's the next guy on your list?
Man, it's so tough because, yeah, it's like, it's so surreal to actually get the guys that are your goal like this fast, like nine months into our show.
In like 10 months and now.
I know, right? That's the fear. But yeah, I mean, getting Ivy and Dwan early on and then getting Mr. Beast, it's like, where do we go from here? So yeah, I would love to get your boss, Dave Portnoy, if he's watching this or if you show this to him. If he's watching, Dave, we would love to have you on the show sometime. Yeah, we'll get Mr. Beast in that game. We can get other influencers, business-related people. If he wants Phil Hellmuth in the game, we'll get him in the game.
Instead of 100, 200, we do 1-2 with me, Smitty, and Mintz.
Sure, whatever you guys want to do. I love Barstool. I think you guys are great, and I would love to do anything with you guys, honestly. But yeah, I think Dave's right at the top, and I think these are like huge names, but I would say Steph Curry would be a cool one. I know he plays a little bit of poker. I know his brother, Seth, a bit. We've been friendly over the years. And I actually briefly talked to him the other day, and he said he watched the beginning of the show. I know he watches a lot of poker. And so I've always been hoping that Seth would somehow someday get Steph to play on the show. That would be a dream. I think, let's see, Steph Curry would be cool. Oh, the top guy that I think would be like the dream to get on the show among people that I know have played poker is Justin Bieber. I know that he's played some poker in the past. I know he's not super interested in it, but I know he has some interest. And obviously Justin Bieber is one of the most famous entertainers in the world. I have a few connections to him. I think that would be an insane dream to get him on the show. So
we'll cut this and we'll just tweet it at Bieber, and that should do the trick.
Please.
Hey, what? I tell you, if you get Steph, it'd be funny. Chris Paul plays poker. I used to play with him in Arizona.
And I was going to say Russ definitely plays.
You got Steph and Chris Paul, if they like play each other in the playoffs, then you get him at the poker.
That would be sick. That would be sick. That would be awesome. Russell Westbrook plays a lot of poker. He plays in some private games in LA. He would be cool too. Another one is Kevin Hart. You know, Kevin Hart is so huge. He's so, you know, such a big star. He's so funny, so entertaining. He obviously plays a lot of poker. He plays private games in LA. We've seen him, you know, in the past playing tournaments on the air. So I think that Kevin Hart would be on that short list, probably that top five of guys that I would dream of having on Hustler Casino Live one day.
You could probably also get Phil Kessel.
That's a hockey player?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think – is it Hellmuth or somebody I remember a while back talking, or maybe Ranu?
remember Negreanu, someone talking about Negreanu's buddies with him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's who it was. Yeah. And we obviously want to get Dan Negreanu on the show too. I've talked to him here and there, and I think he's interested in playing. He just doesn't love traveling that much. So, but I think we'll get him sometime in the next year.
Sweet. Well, thank you for your insight and for putting that game together and for burying Poker Go and for just being a good, you didn't dispute it. So I guess those are your words, not mine.
Yeah. No, we just love the idea that we can put this show together and everyone can watch it. It's free. It's out there. There's so much content that just gets spread from all these influencers, and it's great. And like everyone's saying, I think it's really great for poker that we got all these influencers together in one game. And not only that, but it was the most action game ever, right? Like, like not only do we get these guys together, but we have no clue how they're going to play. And it ends up being the most insane high stakes game ever. There's so many 200 plus K pots. I mean, they're just throwing it's funny because some of these streamers, you kind of have an idea of maybe how wealthy they are. Some you're not really sure. But you don't really know like how they treat money or how they gamble, because most of these guys haven't played big poker before, I don't think. So you don't know until you get in the game and then you see how it is. And it's like all of those guys seem so comfortable with the stakes and with like just throwing around 10K, just calling like trash hands for like 8K, 10K, 15K. It's like it's nothing to them. They're check raised bluffing 30K. Yeah. It's no big deal. I mean, these guys are just immune to it. So it was super cool to, I mean, Ninja was amazing. I thought he was like really competent and knowledgeable when it came to poker. And he just was hilarious too. just the interactions with him and Phil and everything, it was just amazing. XQC I thought was really funny too. He was super cool. Ludwig, Alex, amazing for helping put this whole thing together. Mr. Beast, just the guy just loves poker.
Yeah.
So
I could see him just like playing a 1K at the WSOP.
He loves it. So just huge thank you to all of those guys for playing and being a part of poker history, and not just poker history, but it's just streaming history, right? Like I asked a few of the guys there. I said, how often have you guys ever gotten all of these big names together in one of like live event? And you know, they're like, never.
Yeah.
So everyone was so accommodating, and the whole team made this happen. And it's just something that I'll remember forever.
Well, I think you did a great job, and keep up the great work. And we'll talk to you sooner than later, and just give us a call when you need us.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan.
See ya.
Thanks.
Now you need to get to the most exciting part of this podcast. Ben Mintz's thoughts on Roe v. Wade.
Oh, yes. This is the Ben. Oh, whoa. Let me set it up. This segment's brought to you by 3T. Ben Mintz, the floor is yours.
I've got a lot more to say about 3T than I do Roe v. Wade. 3T will relax you. It will keep your mind right. It's great to help you go to sleep. Fun to play poker on, get your creativity flowing, and it's legal, so you can't beat it. I mean, they've got gummies, pens, you name it, it's great stuff.
If you visit 3t.com, that's number 3chi.com, and use code STOOL5, you get 5% off and a free flag sticker. This sale is exclusive to Barstool listeners. Must be 21 to purchase. As Ben Mintz said, between reading Supreme Court drafts, that they have a wide variety of delicious edibles, vapes, drink enhancers, and tinctures. You get an amazing buzz and great body feel, but with a clearer head and less anxiety and paranoia. Again, 3chi.com. That's the number 3chi.com. For 5% off, use code STOOL5. Skip the dispensary and get the THC delivered to your door. One more time for the babies in the back. 3chi.com. Promo code STOOL5. Anything else that we should talk about?
Sherry's berries.
Sherry's berries. I wish we get Sherry's berries as an ad.
What are you still moving to Vegas for a month?
Actually, great question. I have extended my lease 3 months so I can take time to figure out my next move, with the entire office basically shutting down, with everybody moving back to their own cities. I've extended my lease till August 31st. I also was about a millimeter from pulling the trigger on about 2.5 weeks in Vegas, like the last 2 weeks of June, and then through the main event in July on an Airbnb. I ain't rich as fuck like that, though, so I'm still trying to figure that out. But I think I'm going to do it.
How much is it?
At tournament structures and all that for WSOP and buy-ins and stuff. It's pretty reasonable. Those last 2 weeks of June, there's plenty of low buy-in stuff. I just need to stop being a pussy and I guess do it. Also, if anybody wants to donate to the Barstool Nate Fund, that would be great too. And
well, yeah. How much is the Airbnb?
Put together a package.
No, I'm more worried about just paying rent in New York and then the Airbnb in Vegas. It's on the Strip, so I could walk to Paris.
How much is the Airbnb?
For 2.5 weeks, I was trying to find the tab. I think it was like $2,700 or something for 2.5 weeks.
Okay.
You know, it gets fucked, though, because it's like July 4th week, so it gets so much more expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a two bedroom? Could you double up?
It's a studio.
Oh, baby. I was gonna say Mincy can take the other room.
Oh, we can get a one bedroom. I'll sleep on the couch.
That would be really, really funny content if we were in close quarters from Tuesday. I mean, we get along good, but there would be some comedy, I'm quite sure.
I'd just be grinding the tournaments, bro. I'd never be in that room. Plus all the puss I'd be getting.
You and me both.
You know
I'm going to New Orleans tomorrow for second weekend of Jazz Fest and Barstool Classic in Lake Charles Monday. So that'll be fun. I'm excited about it.
King is returning to his home.
It's last Louisiana. The South completely shuts down from like Memorial Day to Labor Day. And so this is the end of the great South run of spring. And then still planning on Vegas and hopefully I'm off for College World Series though for summer. So,
and Mr. Tool, you are 2 weeks away from the biggest day of your life.
I am.
Any words?
Not really.
No.
Have
you written your vows yet?
Working on them.
Nice.
That's hard.
Am I included in them?
Yeah.
We were roommates when you guys met. Obviously. If not for me, you guys may have never met.
That is definitely not true.
Tough to say.
Very hard to say.
I have a question for y'all, Nate. You just mentioned everybody heading back to their cities. Like, I mean, I've obviously only been around here for a cup of coffee compared to y'all, but the difference I feel versus when I moved here during the pandemic and nobody could travel and everything was out of the office to right now, it feels like almost a different company. Like, I'm just curious what y'all think about it. As being long time veterans,
I would say it is.
Yeah, it is now a company with many companies underneath of it. Everybody working on their own company, like their own brand, instead of everybody working for the Barstool brand.
Yeah, that's fair.
Which doesn't mean Barstool's not thriving. It just means the common goal like the common goal used to be like Barstool to the moon or whatever. Like everybody working for the Barstool. Now it's. You know, Pardon My Take, working to make Pardon My Take as big as possible, Chicklets making Chicklets as big as possible, etc. Which is great for Barstool, but the focus has changed, I think.
Okay. Yeah. But I think the ads
I'd say pre-pan.
Good.
The pandemic hurt a lot of stuff and the serious cancellation have a singular daily product just from Barstool. I wouldn't say necessarily hurt losing that, but it definitely changed a lot of things here.
Yeah,
the app thing with the states, you know, it's like the states that have the app are what 10 to 15 times more important than the ones that don't.
And then that part as well.
Yeah.
It all kind of goes hand in hand, and just the company's always evolved though. Like it just we're just seeing a new evolution of it, and who knows in 2 years what it'll look like and 5 years
what it'll look like. We'll see who's still here this time next year.
Don't say
Nate Dogg and Smitty included.
My contract's up in October.
Mine's November. We should just start our own.
November.
Take Vince too.
Anyway, luckytrader.com.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was what episode, Ben? 134?
134.
That's General Spinks. That is the King of the South. That is PSU Tennis. I am a guy.
The dog.
The dog. Rough, rough. And I should probably hit, I should just get that Airbnb right now, huh? I should just do it.
Go for it.
Should I stop being a puss? Should I stop being a little puss in boots?
American dream.
Yeah.
All right. All right. See you, Ben. Make sure to.
He's got more Supreme Court drafts to read up on. No, during Pick Central, just all of a sudden he starts talking about
Ruby Justice Bates. Alito. Like, what are you doing? Ben Mintz's opinion. We'll be back next week with another episode. Download, rate, subscribe, buy merch, et cetera, et cetera.
See you, boys.
See ya.